We're in real trouble.
You have no idea. All right, so with that,
After today, you guys won't ever
hello.
see me.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Max Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And wow, I just realized how crooked my camera is. There we go. Now it doesn't look like I'm leaning and about to fall out of my chair. All right. Anyhow, hello. Welcome to the Max Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And Patrice, feel better. And yeah, we have missed you this week. And hopefully you'll feel better next week and we'll be able to join us on the shows. If for no other reason, to at least defend yourself when I start making jokes about our keynote poker performance. So, speaking of Apple's Let Loose keynote event was on Monday, and we need to look at our results from our betting. But before we do that, Ben, how are you?
I am on the top of the world.
I know, and
Unfortunately,
congratulations are in order.
yes, unfortunately, even if I'm not deposed today, I will have to step down as your sovereign because I am starting a new IT job on Monday.
Hence the congratulations. That's super exciting. And and I know that means you won't be able to join us on shows regularly like you have been. You will be missed. But you are always welcome whenever it fits. Even if you're dropping in to just make a cameo appearance, you are always welcome.
Yes, I am hoping for a few 3-day weekends with the
Oh,
Friday
that would be
off.
great. I mean, we are in the United States, so hoping for days off is kind of a pipe dream, but a boy can hope. So, anyhow, congratulations. And
But I do
speaking of a
also have to
boy,
say, if I am physically able to, I will return in the future.
awesome. Awesome. Like I said, you're always welcome. And our boy that always has hope, Chuck, how are you?
Okay.
Got to figure out that one.
Interpret it
What
however you please.
is this day off thing that you speak of? I'm not familiar with It's a thing
this
they
term.
do in the EU.
Ah, I see.
Ah.
Okay. Oh, so Patrice should know about this.
Oh, Patrice knows all about this.
Yeah. No, I'm good, Jeff. Everything is rolling along here. Just what can you say? Another day in paradise.
There you go. Hey, Patrice is in the live chat. Hi, Patrice. I'm glad you're feeling well enough to at least watch. Giving today's episode the title of Still Tied Down, I think is totally appropriate, especially since we're on the Adult Tech Network.
Where
Wait a minute,
are the
is that
adults?
available? Oh, I'm not talking about our level of maturity. I'm talking about the content.
Yes.
Yeah.
It
See, yeah. I know you're just sitting here imagining right now. I know what you're imagining. Chuck is tied to the bed, standing over him. There's that special someone. Tell me you want an iPad. Tell me you want an iPad. Did it just get hot in here? If you want to see
No, no,
more, you have to check out onlyjeff.com.
yes. Yeah, no, Nelly, it isn't getting hot in here. So please don't take off all your clothes.
We've been left unsupervised.
AdultTechNetwork.com is available for $17.99.
Ooh.
$17.99. So
Okay.
there you go, Jeff. You can get off Only Jeff's and become the Adult Tech Network. You had to use that term, Chuck.
He did have to use that term, and he's thinking about it, and now he realizes what he said.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just sort of goes, it apparently goes with the theme of today's show. I'm not quite sure
there,
how
yep,
this
there
happened.
You go.
We're not even, we haven't even started, and we're already off the rails.
So we are definitely here on BTN.
Yeah, it's been great interim hosting the show. I'm going to miss not being here anymore, and I would come back, except now there's the restraining order, and yeah.
Yes, and you and going like, what the hell are these wankers doing?
I'm sure he's just thinking, frackin' Americans. And that's a totally legit response.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey. So let's find out what these frackin' Americans and one Austrian or one German living in Austria, excuse me, Patrice, did in our poker.
It's like you took the segue right out of my mouth. Chuck, do you have anything to say to that comment? He even muted himself just to be safe.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry. It's, in fact, maybe I should just do this, be done with it.
All right. Well, okay. So Apple's keynote poker, no, Apple's keynote event was on Tuesday, and the title was Let Loose, and it was a 38-minute long event, or 35 minutes, that introduced a new iPad Air, a new iPad Pro, a new processor for the iPad Pro, and a new Apple Pencil model. So we didn't know what was going to be announced ahead of time. So, of course, we did our keynote poker where we offered up our predictions. So for those of you that haven't watched a keynote poker event, it's two rounds. Each round, each person makes a prediction, and then we all bet between -5 and +5. The lower the number, the less likely you think that prediction is. And so here's how this played out. Well, generally poorly, but at least we're consistent. So in our first round, Ben predicted that we will get a non-pro iPad model larger than 11 inches. That was true. We got the 13-inch iPad Air. So well done on that prediction. Then Dave predicted that the iPad Pro will get the M4 processor, and in fact it did. So well done on that, Dave. And speaking of showing up just in time to take credit for his correct guess, ladies and gentlemen, Dave Ginsburg.
How's it going, guys?
It's going great. Dave, I don't know if you're able to watch before you joined in. I was just starting to run down the predictions that we made for the keynote poker. So the first prediction was from Ben, the iPad, or we will get a non-pro iPad with bigger than 11-inch screen. iPad Air 13-inch came out. Then the next prediction was yours. iPad Pro will get the M4 processor. Yes. So well done on that one.
Yeah.
All right. So then Chuck was up next, and Chuck predicted we'd see a refresh to the iPad mini line. No, we did not. Then I predicted that we will get multiple tip types for the Apple Pencil. Nope, we did not. And then Patrice, her prediction was that Vision Pro will be available in several European countries, but that Austria would not be mentioned. And if you could go for half an answer, where Austria is not mentioned in the keynote, well, that would have been okay. But no, Patrice's prediction about a Vision Pro announcement was wrong. So that put us at the end of round one with mostly wrong predictions, but it's the bets on those predictions that matters. So at the end of round one, Ben had a total of 0 points. And Dave was minus two, Chuck was minus six, and in Bizarro World, I took the lead with minus 15. and Patrice was minus six. So Ben is actually in the lead at the end of round one with no points. So Ben, at least at the end of round one, you were maintaining your title as the reigning king of keynote poker. All right, so now going into round two, we had a lot of consistency here. So first prediction was Ben with saying that there will be a new game that's announced. There was not. Then Dave, your prediction was that iPad Pro will get MagSafe charging as an option. Nope, did not happen. Then Chuck, you said that there would be a hardware-focused update for the HomePod line, and no, there was not. Not even a mention of a HomePod anywhere. And then I said there would be a montage showing creative apps. And this is one where Patrice and I both had to go back and rewatch parts of the keynote just to make sure. And the answer is no. Apple did not do the montage video. And then Patrice, her prediction was that new accessibility features would be mentioned. And to round out our perfect string of predictions on this one, no. So everything we predicted in round two was wrong. So what did that do with our points? All right. So Ben, you started showing something other than zero this round. So you ended up with minus seven. And Chuck, you managed to get a positive point count on this one. So you had two. Woo-hoo! And, oh, no, wait, that's Dave. Dave, good for you. You got positive points. And Chuck, salt in the wound, you actually did not get positive points. You ended up with minus 11.
Ouch.
Yeah. Now, I made a huge comeback and ended up with 15 points in round two.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And Patrice made a huge comeback as well with 16 points in round two. So the numbers just like really bounced around between the two rounds. And here's how it played out in the end. Ben, you did lose your title, but how did this really work out? Okay, so coming in as the lowest number of points, which probably deserves some honorarium title, was Chuck with minus 17. Nicely done.
I worked hard for that.
You did. You did.
Do you know how hard it is to do predictions that you know will not come true and therefore are working on that side of the title?
I know. This is the cross you bear. Yeah. So, Chuck, minus 17. All right. Ben, you did not come in last, so well done. You had minus seven. Chuck, I love you.
I'm sitting right here, Jeff. Come on now.
Oh, I'm glad we're all friends. Mm. At least we were up until a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
My life is so lonely. Well, anyhow, so then we end up with a tie for second place. And Dave, you and I tied with 0 points.
So we have we're co-winners here.
We're co almost winners. Yes. Yeah. And
we're tied for first, really.
Yeah. Well, the true winner this time around is actually Patrice.
Oh, Patrice. Okay.
Because mm-hmm. she ended up with 10 points. So congratulations.
Hey, Patrice.
Patrice, you are now the reigning queen. And King Ben, are you okay handing over the crown to Her Majesty Queen Patrice?
I have been deposed.
let's
I'll just have to get a job and get out of here.
Oh, wait, you did.
So, well, hey, you know, at least our predictions are consistent from keynote to keynote. And by that, I mean really bad. So that was a lot of fun. I'm assuming our next keynote poker event will be ahead of Worldwide Developer Conference, which is in June.
Yep.
And in the chat, Patrice is saying the queen is grateful to receive the crown. All hail the former king. And so, very gracious winner. And Patrice is also pointing out it was very close, and there was one question that that ultimately decided the winner at the end. So, wow. Okay. There you go. Keynote poker. And see, Patrice is so on top of it. Even when she's not feeling well and is unable to join us for the show, she can still rattle off the information that's important. So WWDC is June 10th through 14th. Next keynote poker is June 7th. Mark the date on your calendar. Yeah.
In other words, right now, Patrice is basically ventriloquisting Jeff Kamen.
You know how ventriloquist dummies work, right? I'm sitting in a very awkward position right now.
What show am I on?
I was going to wonder.
Dave, you weren't here for the
happens
where
when
this
we
started.
Start a little bit later, yeah. And I have a little bit more time to wake up. This is all on you. Okay, so we survived keynote poker, and we should talk about the announcements that Apple made and how much we like or don't like what they said or did. But before we do that, I think we really need to talk about how much we like TSO hosts.
Yes.
And why do we like TSO hosts? Because they offer really, really great web hosting, and they make it easy to buy domain names. They offer good pricing. They have great customer support, and they're taking all of those things that they do so well. And they're saying, hey, British Tech Network, we want to give something back to the community, and we love what you're doing. So here, take our services and just use them, which is amazingly generous, because the resources that it takes to make all of this happen is kind of crazy. It's beyond what we would be able to manage on our own. So we really appreciate what they're doing. And when I say it takes a lot of resources, well, here's what they're doing for us. First off, they're giving us the bandwidth we need so we can live stream shows every single week. That right there would be a showstopper if we, quite literally, if we had to come up with that on our own. Then they're also giving us the hosting space we need. So there's a website for the British Tech Network. So you can go and see when shows are coming up and find information about everything that the British Tech Network does. You can find that button that you can click to send in money to help support the Daily News Show. All of that stuff is there on the website. Then they're also giving us the hosting space, the server space, so that there's a place for all the show files to live, so you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want. And seriously, without the support they're giving us, we would not be able to be here and do what we do for you. So thank you, TSO hosts, for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. And now that I've said it, now you know what you can say. Just go online and do it. And thank TSO hosts on your favorite social media platform for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. So thank you again, TSO hosts. Now, they do have those great services. If by chance you do need to buy domain names, then why not use them? They make it easy to do. They're going to offer you good prices. Get those domain names in your cart. If you need web hosting, throw that in there too. But be sure to add the discount code BTN20. So you get a 20% discount on your order. They're making good pricing even better just because you're part of the BTN family. So thank you again, TSO hosts, for being here. All right. So now this is where I would typically lean on Patrice for some help, because she is so good at talking about the live chat, which, by the way, she's participating in right now. I'm going to have to do that. And
Patrice, Jeff, I'll take it from you.
Oh, do you want to do it? This is your last show?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. And Patrice will immediately tell me if I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah, Ben. Oh, okay. Hold on, Ben. So Ben, can you please help me out and tell people about the live chat, please?
Absolutely. For that, you go to chat.britishnetwork.com, British Tech Network, excuse me, .com. There you can see literally what we're typing in, like the hi I'm about to type, if you are seeing this live.
Oh, look, King Ben Raything just put hi.
Yes.
Dave typed yo.
Yes.
Highbrow but commentary.
Yes. But let's just say you're one of those people who just dishonor us by not watching the show live.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to see all the stuff we said in the chat that we reference in the show. For that, you can go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. There will be a lovely calendar made by Patrice.
Mm-hmm.
You click on today's date, and it will show you a full chat script. But we can just call it a chat script. We came up with a brand new term, a transcript of today's chat. So you can see everything we said, put in all the links we are about to post, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That was awesome.
So Queen Patrice, did I miss anything?
I'm guessing you did pretty well. It sounded great to me. Done.
Except one correction. It was Anders who made the calendar.
Oh, well, I had no idea.
Well, you got everything was correct by Patrice.
All right. Yes. Well done. And Ben, yes, thank you for
little former for, prince. You can't be up here
for stepping in for Patrice and doing such a professional job of telling people about the chat, unlike the way I do it. All right. So, let's talk about the announcements from the keynote. And I'm feeling like, unless everyone has a different idea, why not go through the event in the order of announcements? So we'll start with the iPad Air. And my first take when when they started showing the new iPad Air was, oh, this is yesterday's iPad Pro at a lower price. And there's a couple differences, but that's really how it felt to me.
Yes, but without without Face ID, mm-hmm. and with a horizontal camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And other than that, it was just really pretty much the iPad Pro that everyone had been buying up until Tuesday. That was my take.
I'll jump in. Mm-hmm. With this being an M2 processor, I, for the first time ever, I thought an iPad Air might become my main iPad, or could become my main iPad.
Sure.
You know, but Ben brought up, I think, you know, one for me, one key difference, and that is the Touch ID, because I am massively spoiled by Face ID. So that for me personally would be a reason maybe not to do it. The horizontal camera is nice, but at least at the moment I'm not using it that much. So that wouldn't be a game changer. But yeah, the Face ID would push me to the Pro. That said, this is a phenomenal value in an iPad.
Yeah, I was super great. Surprised. Yeah. Dave,
yeah,
are you buying
one? I would agree with that. This was super surprising, especially the 13-inch. I mean, to have this and the value that is, I mean, my gosh, $799, and, you know, many people would be fine with 256 or 128 of space, and have a perfectly good iPad for that price point and have a beautifully big 13-inch screen. So I was very impressed with that. And bumping it right up to the M2 processor, which was, slightly not much of a bump from the M1, but still, it's still good. And then having being compatible to the Pencil Apple Pencil Pro is another huge thing. Mm-hmm. For those who like to have used Pencil, so really good budget conscious iPad for and I think it's well worth its value.
Mm-hmm. That and if you have both a MacBook. Smaller MacBook and an iPad. This works really well in a secondary function as a second screen for your Mac.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm feeling like people that have been holding off on getting a new iPad for a while, because they want something new, but the price of an iPad Pro is keeping them from actually dropping the money. This is a great way to get that iPad Pro that you wanted at a much more affordable price point.
Yeah.
And it's called an iPad Air.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. Patrice says she's correcting us on the camera. But
oh yeah, the camera is it's a 12 megapixel, but it's a single camera. It's not the wide like it is on the iPad Pro.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's according to the link, it's landscape. Yes. Okay.
Layers, both iPads horizontal. Both iPads now have landscape.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. All three.
Does the 10th gen have it too? Yeah, 10th gen already had it.
Yeah. Ironically, the 10th gen was the first iPad.
It's already had it.
Yep. With a landscape camera.
Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, Ben, you were the one that pointed out the landscape camera and the Touch ID on the iPad Air.
Yep.
And, so then the iPad Pro now has the landscape camera, but it sticks with Face ID. That new iPad Pro, I found that to be very interesting and very compelling. It now switches to an OLED screen, but it's a
double OLED.
I'm sorry?
Double OLED tandem.
Yeah, double OLED. That's right. It's they had a different term for that. Hold on.
Tandem.
I wrote it down.
Tandem OLED.
Tandem OLED. That's right. Yep. It's also a brighter display, so it's 1,000 nits, but the at peak HDR it's 1,600 nits. The iPad Air is it does not have as bright a screen, but it's it's still a bright screen.
Yeah, it's pretty nice for a traditional LCD screen with LED backlight.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, the new iPad Pro gets rid of one camera, which Dave, you were talking about. And so it goes back to a single camera. And my take on that is that since Apple knows how people are using the devices, that they found that people weren't using the cameras on the iPad Pro in the way that they anticipated, and that camera was that lens was not necessary, so they took it off, and there you go.
Yep. And also, let's be perfectly honest, that screen was a lot more than the $200 upcharge from 18 months ago's pros. So Apple had to make a couple of cuts elsewhere to get those into a very affordable price. And the ultra wide lens was something that people just didn't use.
Yeah. The only times I've used the camera on my iPad Pro, and I'm still rocking a third gen, so I have several years of use of this iPad. I've used it to scan documents a couple times, and there were a couple instances where I needed to take a photo of my iPhone, and so I used the iPad Pro to take that photo. This iPad gets the M4 processor, which Dave, you started to talk about a little bit.
Right. With the iPad Pros, yeah, it's got the M4 processor, and that's just a huge thing having those faster processors in place. This is a beast of an iPad. It really is. I mean, there's just some just amazing features. The processor alone, I mean, the speeds and are just going to be just huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I like how you describe it. This is a beast of an iPad.
I think it is.
Ben, you have mentioned before your feelings on iPad hardware.
Oh, yes.
So, so your majesty.
Yeah, it basically caused a riot on Chuck's show.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, how do you feel about the state of iPad hardware versus software?
I'll keep it pretty on point here with just the one thing I said. It's high end, it's very well done Mac hardware being held back by cell phone software.
I like that explanation.
Yeah, that's a fair analogy.
Mm-hmm. This, in my opinion, is the best hardware Apple has ever made.
That I'll agree with.
If it ran macOS, the 14-inch MacBook Pro that I am on doing this on today would be going up on Facebook Market because this would be my Apple computer. But honestly, as an iPad running iPad OS, I can't justify it. Even though it's such gorgeous, well-designed hardware, because for what I would need it to do, honestly, in most cases, the iPad mini or the 10th gen iPad can do those perfectly fine. I'm not an artist. As much as I'd like a third screen for my MacBook, well, I can get one relatively cheap, a lot cheaper, that's very nice on eBay, or not eBay, but Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, it's just something that ends up breaking my heart. And I hope either it gets Mac OS or iPad OS gets the biggest upgrade in its history in about a month.
I'm hoping for a big upgrade to iPad OS too. Chuck, you were about to say something.
Yeah, I know Ben and I don't necessarily align on this, but he got around to the point that one of the points I was going to make, that, you know, right now we're taking a snapshot in time and saying, oh, you know, well, and Patrice is making that point in the chat room as well, that, you know, that this really isn't using the hardware. And okay, you know, that's true right now, but this is the first M4 processor in the line that is out there. Mm-hmm. And so now we have to wait, you know, the software has to catch up with it. And it's, I mean, look, it would be great if everything could come out all at once so that we could all make our buying decisions on the best thing. But first of all, that's not necessarily good business. Second of all, even with Apple, it's just not realistic to, you know, do that, have everything held back, and then, you know, release it all at once. So I'm watchfully waiting. Ben and I, along with some others on the panel on my show, have a fundamental disagreement about where the iPad is in the line. You know, the iPad, from where I sit, is an iPad. It's a device that is not supposed to be a Mac. Mm-hmm. And if you want a Mac, buy a Mac, and, you know, or wait for the M4 processor to get on the Mac. That, you know, that kind of goes. But the iPad experience is not supposed to be the Mac OS experience. And so, Ben, I agree with you. You know, this could easily run Mac OS.
But better than most Pro Macs.
Especially with the new processor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, so I'm waiting to see what the iPad becomes with the new software. And I mean, look, if mine ran it, if my iPad ran Mac OS, I would certainly be experimenting with it. But there's one other thing that I think we, you know, that didn't get brought up when we had our discussion. And that is that to have that experience, Ben, you end up needing a keyboard, whether it's Apple's keyboard with the integrated trackpad, or mm-hmm. a keyboard and a mouse. That's what turns it into a Mac. And yeah. That means it's not an iPad. And so if I want the Mac, I go get the iPad, or excuse me, I go get the Mac. So I mean, it makes sense in my head. I don't know. I hope I'm expressing it well.
Yeah.
So I'm watchfully waiting to see. Maybe we revisit this at the, you know, after WWDC or after mm-hmm. iOS 18 gets in our 18. Yeah. 18 gets in our hands. Do I have that right, Jeff?
18?
iPad OS 18?
Yeah, I had it right.
Yep.
Yeah, so once that gets in our hands, then we can have some of these discussions in a bit more of a level playing field. Right now, it just feels like there's a big unknown sitting out there.
Yeah.
There is.
Yeah. And still hoping for Air Force One to go up on stage, like, you know, is like something like why being held, the iPad is the best iPad there is, but when docked in the Magic Keyboard, it now also runs Mac OS,
or at least let you run Mac apps
optionally.
Yeah, sort of the way that the Mac lets you run iPad apps.
Yeah, but that'd be good too.
At the risk of taking us too far down this path, I'll go here. If you were to do that, I mean, I guess you're talking about it almost a dual boot kind of situation.
Yeah. Or virtualization, so, where you can effortlessly switch between the two.
Okay, so then what do we have in the way of storage options, and does it get potentially confusing? I mean, for us, maybe not, but for the average person, to say, okay, I was working on this on Mac OS on my iPad, this document. Now I want to switch over to iPad OS on my iPad. Mm-hmm. Where's my document? I can't find my document.
Well, I mean, you're looking at the same APFS file system.
You
it
are,
would have to
but
be a,
if
it,
you're accessing it very differently.
Yeah. I mean, so basically it would have to be something set up in the firmware level where it would just automatically, if you want to switch, launch the equivalent iPad app, if there was one.
Teresa in the chat room is pointing out that the data volume is already separate, so it could just be shared.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what does that data volume look like in an I'm not arguing, Patrice. I don't know. What's that data volume look like in a Mac OS environment? Does it have the usual hierarchy file structure? Because Jeff, I think you're the one that has said you would never
do
this. Yeah,
it's identical.
Is it okay? So, you know, I'm watchfully waiting. Ben, to be clear, I'm not opposed to it. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I like the idea in a lot of cases. What I don't want to do is I don't want to see the iPad diluted from the great experience that it is for so many people just because a few geeks, you know, want this.
And that's why macOS would have to be optional and boot into or virtualize. Not take zero away from the iPad, but give to those who want a more powerful iPad or a more powerful computer.
All right, so here's my prediction. And based on Keynote Poker, take this for what it's worth.
At least you didn't come in last, Jeff.
This time, I don't think Apple would do the dual boot iPad OS, Mac OS on the iPad. I think instead what they would do is let you run certain Mac apps in containers in iPad OS. So they would appear in the same way that that an iPad app does on the iPad. It takes over the screen. It's the one thing you're seeing, and you're working in this Mac app just exclusively. And when you do your command tab, if you're using a keyboard or your swipe up and to the left so you can switch apps, it just appears in that list of apps in your app switcher, just like any other iPad app would. So accessing your file system, accessing documents would work the same in these Mac apps as it already does in iPad apps.
Yeah, I mean, plus Apple has put great effort into essentially making apps shared across the platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jeff, if you have that environment that you just described, if I understood what you're thinking, you're still talking about an iOS app because it'll be a Mac app, but it will be running it'll take over the full screen. It'll be running in its own container. And
it
so,
will be a universal app.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So kind of what do we get out of that that we don't already have now, except perhaps the idea that we could run some Mac apps that right now are not supported on iOS or iPad OS?
Yeah. Which is kind of the big thing.
Well, Patrice just pointed out something really important in the chat. If we're using modern apps, they're made with Swift UI and Catalyst, which means we're already doing this. So maybe Apple, in a stealth way, already gave us this, and a lot of people just aren't realizing it. And it does what I would expect Apple to have us do to have Mac apps run on an iPad, which is they have to do something in the development process so that the right hooks, interface hooks, whatever, are in place so that their app runs on the multiple devices. All right, I want to make sure that we still have time to talk about the other announcement, which for some people is the big announcement. So we're going to do that. And that's Apple Pencil Pro. And
yeah, there's absolutely no question that this is much better than the predecessor.
I agree. and I still feel it's limited compared to the styluses that are available for dedicated graphic tablets like products from Wacom. However, for a multi-use stylus on a slate computer, which is what an iPad is, it's a tablet, it's a computer, slate computer. Holy crap, this is an amazing piece of hardware. So the differences that we get now, it has a squeeze gesture sensor thing built in. So when you're holding your stylus or your Apple Pencil, you do the squeeze thing, and that can perform functions. It also gives you haptic feedback when you do that. It adds in a function. So if you roll the Apple Pencil in your fingers, they call it barrel roll. Do a barrel roll.
Bring in Maverick.
Yeah. So you can get different tools, different functions, just by rolling the Apple Pencil between your fingers. And it's compatible with the new iPad Pro with M4 processor and the new iPad Air with M2 processor. The original Apple Pencil 2 that this grows out of is not compatible with the new iPads, nor is the Apple Pencil 2. Wait, Apple Pencil 2 is for previous model iPads. Apple Pencil Pro is for the new Air and new iPad Pro. And that's because the charging point or sensor element in the pencil had to shift some to accommodate the position of a landscape view FaceTime camera. So I was hoping they would be usable across iPad models or generations, but that's not the case. The tip itself stays the same. So if you have a bunch of Apple Pencil tips sitting around, you can still use them. And people are like, why would I need that? They actually do wear out. If you use your Apple Pencil a lot, just the friction of moving the pencil on the glass surface a lot, it's going to wear it down over time. So they do need to be replaced. To me, this is the big feature for upgrading to a new iPad, because my iPad Pro third gen is still fully capable of everything I need to do, except that I'm limited by my Apple Pencil.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff, I'd venture to say that probably among this group, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, you're probably the one who can most appreciate the Apple Pencil, the new Apple Pencil.
Yeah, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Look forward to playing with it.
I'm very much looking forward to playing with it. I'm very much looking forward to playing with the new iPad, either an Air or a Pro. If I were to buy one for myself, I'd end up getting the Pro, even though the Air would be a huge step up from my current iPad Pro. But considering I know I will use this for multiple years, I might as well invest the extra money to have the iPad that's going to meet my needs for a longer window of time. And in the chat, Patrice is pointing out the USB-C Apple Pencil does work across generations of iPads. Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's equally bad. It's equally bad for all iPads.
It's depending on your use case. I think it's a reasonable choice. If you want something where you're just going to be writing on an iPad and want to use it for tap navigation, that $79 USB-C Apple Pencil is probably just fine. It's when you went
on 1 second here.
Yeah, it's the art features. Like
breaking news.
Breaking news. Yeah. like being able to have pressure sensitivity. You don't get that with USB-C Apple Pencil. So we're going to have to wrap up pretty soon so that Ben can head out and take care of important stuff because he's a big businessman now.
He is.
So what I'm going to do is skip cool things today. And instead just go around and see who is or is not buying a new iPad and what they're looking at. And I'll go ahead and start. I have an iPad Pro in my Apple Store cart right now, and I have not tapped the buy button yet. And the one that I have in my cart is the iPad Pro with the 512 gig storage. The reason I did that is because I'm not using the full 512 gig on my current iPad Pro. So I figure that would probably be fine, and I can use external drives. I don't need the nano texture display because I know I'm going to use rock, paper, pencil, screen protector, and Apple Pencil tip. And I don't want to have that interfere with whatever the nano texture screen would do. And I would be getting the new Apple Pencil Pro, and I would be getting the new Smart or Magic keyboard. So that I can use this as a complete on-the-go computer, but I have not actually bought it yet. So, Dave, how about you?
I did place the order yesterday. I have the. I knew you guys were going to laugh. I did. I went with the same model, the 13-inch 512. Yeah, mm-hmm. That Apple card is getting some workouts. I tell you that. I was happy with that, and it should be more than sufficient for what I need. I'm getting a good trade-in value on my M1 11-inch iPad Pro, so moving up to giving about $385 on the trade, so that's pretty decent with that. So, and then I went with the Apple Pencil Pro. I'm gonna hold off on the Magic keyboard right now and see how it can go, because I don't use the keyboard a lot and tend to use more touchscreen, but I may come back to it. And I've got other old stuff that could easily work if I wanted a Bluetooth keyboard to connect to it too, for if I was going to do some stuff. But I'm definitely going to get a case. I'm waiting for the Zugu, the Z-U-G-U. That's my all-time favorite case. They haven't released one yet for the 13-inch just yet, but hoping that'll be the next purchase as a case. But
yes, yeah, my.
Go ahead.
My favorite iPad case manufacturer, Logitech, announced theirs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Saw that.
Cool. Yep. All right.
So, it looks like the dates are holding. So, May 15th, I'll have it. I'll go pick it up that night. And should have a short review on the next thing to touch YOS, and then more with the rest of our shows here.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Ben, how about you?
You know,
right now, possibly the 13-inch Air. I didn't get the iPad that would have been a immediate buy for me, which was the 7th gen iPad mini.
Mm-hmm.
But which whenever that comes out, yeah, the card is coming out immediately. But
I see it.
Oh, I forget where I put my cat knocked it off.
The cat took it.
Yes. He's going to go buy some Friskies.
Excellent. All right, Chuck, how about you?
Jeff, I'm going to sit and watch and wait and see. The if if I were to do an upgrade, as even in spite of what I said earlier, I would definitely go with the Pro. If I want to find out more for what something I'm interested in, what Final Cut will do with this multicam thing, because I feel like that has a lot of potential there for something that I would actually really use. And I don't know if that will apply to the Air. I don't know enough about, you know, exactly how it's coming in and then how that could be moved over to how easily it could be moved over to the desktop. That said, you know, it's very, very tempting. I looked up my trade-in on my current iPad and the numbers are pretty good. And so it's tempting not to just jump right in, you know, and do it. But the Apple Pencil, probably not. I'm with Dave. I've always loved the Zugu cases. I don't have one right now because I have a keyboard, the Apple keyboard case for mine. And it makes it even more of a productivity machine than it already was. It when I open it up, it cocks the screen at the perfect angle for me. And I don't feel like the keyboard takes up that much space or is that obnoxious with it. So yeah, you know, we will see. But I one of these will be in my future at some point. I'm just not sure yet. And I want to see what iOS 18 brings to the table across the board before I make any decisions. By the way, I did hear on the news this morning that there was a smoke front moving from Chicago toward Pennsylvania. It was coming off of Dave's credit card.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So we need to wrap up. And I was going to say, Ben, where can people find you? But he had to step off for a second. So Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm here on Fridays usually, and I'm on the Mac Voices Live, probably on that show every Tuesday night, and having a great time there as well. And you can also find me on Mastodon at DaveG65 at Mastodon.club. Thank you.
Awesome. And Chuck, how about you? Where can people find you?
Find me over. Excuse me. Yeah. When I'm not suffering from the hay fever of the season, you can find me at macvoices.com. The NAB coverage got a little bit interrupted by Apple's event, so that will resume next week. There will also be a discussion of a product with Jeff Gamet next week that is very, very relevant to these discussions we've had here. And the rest of the time, you can find me on social media as at Chuck Joyner.
Awesome. All right. Well, then while we wait for Ben to come back.
I'm here.
Ben. Okay. There he is. It's your turn. Where can people find you?
Well, Monday for Friday, you can find me working IT.
Yay.
Right.
Yep. On social media, you can find me at Ben Rathick. On Tuesdays, you can find me on Mac Voices Live with Mr. Chuck Joyner. If I don't start any more riots on a show. On Thursday, you can find me on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. And sooner rather than later, I should be restarting Mac Tech or Rathick Tech. Excuse me.
Awesome. And Ben, we're going to miss having you as a regular on the British Tech Network. But you're always welcome back anytime. And it has been an absolute delight having you join in just regularly. So you will be missed.
Oh, there's nothing regular about this show.
Fair. Fair. All right. Yeah. Okay. So where can people find me? Jay Gamet on social media. I'm active on Mastodon, Instagram, and Threads. Then for shows, Chuck lets me on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. Dave lets me on In Touch with iOS on Thursdays. Then here on the British Tech Network, The Big Show on Thursdays, The Max Show on Fridays, and Brian Chaffin and I, we also do The Context Machine. And now it's time to really wrap up. So thank you to the three of you for just making this such a fun day. I love starting off my weekends with all of you. Ben, congratulations again on the new job. You rock.
Yep. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. And then all of you that are watching, listening live, thank you for being here. And everyone that's been participating in the live chat, including Patrice. Patrice, you're such a trooper. You're not feeling well, and yet you were still able to drag yourself to your computer and watch and participate in the live chat. So feel better. Hopefully we'll see you back next week.
You're in so much trouble, little cat.
Oh, I'm so used to hearing that myself. You're in so much trouble. Anyhow, all of you, thank you for being here and being part of the show. You are all awesome. Everyone that watches or listens to the recordings later, so glad you're part of the BTN family as well. You rock. Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Hey, don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the Big Show. Join us again on Friday for the Max Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.